Let's take a look at the timeline of medications that we have available for schizophrenia. In the 1950s, clopromazine was our first antipsychotic, and it truly revolutionized the care of people with schizophrenia and led to the reduction of the census in state hospitals. So no longer did patients have to remain institutionalized. They could be in the community with medication treatment. Now, clopromazine was only the first. There were several additional first-generation antipsychotics made available, including long-acting injectable formulations. Ultimately, we have now second-generation antipsychotics, the first one being clozapine, the first atypical antipsychotic. We call it atypical because it's not associated with abnormal motoric adverse events, as are the first-generation antipsychotics. But as you know, clozapine is not easy to use. It requires ongoing blood monitoring, and it's reserved essentially for treatment-resistant schizophrenia. Risperidone was our first second-generation antipsychotic to become generally available for first-line use, and that ushered in a new era of second-generation antipsychotics that are so-called kinder and gentler in terms of motor movement abnormalities. However, they do come with additional baggage. Many of them are associated with weight gain and metabolic disturbances, for example. We have a number of formulations now available of the second-generation antipsychotics, including a number of long-acting injectable formulations, as well as a sublingual formulation of acenapine, as well as a patch of acenapine.